need introduction, right? Senior Pastor Kenny Chi. Yes. Faithful servant for many years in our church. Thank you.
You should say, and to you too. Wonderful to see the church so tastefully decorated for Christmas. And they are planning a Christmas fair. The youth are planning a Christmas fair, having a Christmas fair on the 25th, the actual day of Christmas. And they are encouraging each and every one of us to actually think of our nephew, our nieces, or some young person that you want to bring, some young friends, colleagues, to come. Because this whole hall will be decked in beautiful Christmas, booths. And there will be such a variety of things that you can enjoy or your nephew and niece can enjoy. But before I go into the message, we like to just spend some time praying, right? We need to pray. It's good to organize. It's good to plan. We need to be very thorough. But we also need to pray that during this Christmas season, the goal of the pastors, the desire of the pastors, is that we can convey the true meaning of the joy of Christmas. And we want that to be conveyed in a way that is winsome and interesting and helpful. But we need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to open eyes so that people can see Jesus. Amen? That's what we want to do. Shall we pray together? Our God and loving Father, thank you for the heart, the desire of all the congregations to proclaim Christ during this Christmas season. Our desire, O Lord, is that for those who do not know Jesus, there would be an opening of their eyes as they hear the message, as they sing Christmas carols, as they mingle with the people of God. Their eyes will be open. Their ears will hear things they never heard before. And their hearts, most of all, will be warm to the love of God and the joy that Christ brings. Father, we pray for all the friends that will be brought here to fill this place. We pray, Lord, that they will all experience something of the true joy of Christmas. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Nope, next. What brings you joy? I want to begin with a question. What is it that brings you joy? Joy is like a feeling of pleasure, a feeling of happiness. What brings you joy? I thought about it for a while and said, travel. Some people enjoy travel. I noticed young ladies, when they start working, they go on a real binge of travel. They love traveling. For many Singaporeans, food, isn't it? Food, we derive pleasure from eating nice food. I'm not a foodie, but I know people who will travel from the east of Singapore to the west to taste some famous food that some blogger wrote about. New gadgets, phone especially. You get a pleasure getting a new phone. When I found the, and I'm really backdated, when I found the Note 5 was on sale, I was so happy. I bought it for 200 plus with a plan. And for 1 week, I was enjoying that S Pen. And it was so useful and so helpful. It gave me pleasure. It gave me joy compared to the older phone. For some, it's fame. having 300 likes for one Instagram photo. Wow, you feel like you're famous. Having 5,000 followers on your Instagram account. Wow. Money, of course, money, right? Money gives you, when a boss tells you, okay, you're going to get a 20% raise. Wow, like my friend here last week, he got a 20% raise. Can you imagine the joy and pleasure? Or new possessions, like when he got his Tesla, he was telling me, I met him again the other just a few days ago to plan for next year. And he was telling me what the Tesla can do. You know, in a busy traffic jam, you just press a button, you keep your hands on the steering wheel, and then it will adjust for you. You won't bump into anybody. Wow, the sensors are all everywhere. Wow, it can even park for you. How's that, ladies? Can even park for you. And then he showed me his son's car, also another Tesla. And he showed me some other friends' Tesla coming out of the garage. And on the driver's seat is a skeleton. It's a Halloween day, you know, Halloween. It's a skeleton, actually it's self-drive. Wow. Okay, let's not talk about cars anymore. Achievements give us joy, possessions, power, beautiful things, and beautiful scenery. I just came from a place, a beautiful retreat place with beautiful lakes, beautiful mountains, and I was sitting there and just admiring the beauty. I mean, it's nothing compared to what you have in America or what you have in New Zealand, but to me, being there at that point in time, in that temperature, in that ambience, was just such a joy, such a pleasure. It brought some happiness. And of course, relationships, right? Part of Christmas is just relationships. Thinking of people you love, giving gifts, receiving gifts, spending time together with people you love. It brings a certain pleasure, bring a certain happiness, you know. I was sitting and I was telling my wife, wow, Christmas so fast. 23rd is Christmas Day, 25th is the big event. So fast. And I haven't even got into the Christmas mood. Let me tell you, if you have to prepare the Christmas message, there's no Christmas mood. There's Christmas stress. I thought all my stress was over when my children grew up, because when they start working, I don't have to crack my head what to buy for them. And I was very happy when my eldest brother said, okay, this year, no more Christmas gifts. I think our children are all grown up already. Every year, you have to crack your head what to give to nephew number one, nephew number two, niece number one. Ah, y'all don't struggle. You're very easy. It's such a stress, right? So for me, at this age, Christmas should be very pleasant, because I don't have this stress of thinking what to buy. Will they be happy? You know, even the late Leicester owner, the Thai owner of King Power, is it King Power, who owned the Leicester football club that won the Premier League. He gave them BMWs to all the players. Wow, I don't have that kind of power to give BMWs to all my children, but he gave BMW to all the players. But I suspect some players say, why you give them BMW? Give me money better. Isn't it? Very hard to satisfy people with gifts. So sometimes Christmas is so stressful. But it has its joys. And the joy is just being with people you love. Amen? That's one of the joy. But you know, all of these joys are very short-lived. Now my Note 5 is outdated. Now they have Note 9. Wow, Note 9. Powerful. The joy lasted only a week. You know, just touch, touch, touch. Wow, wow, can do this. Wow, you can do that. Wow. After that, it's just... The joys, the simple joys, the pleasures, the happiness that many people enjoy is temporary. Short-lived. And it's all dependent on external circumstances. If you can't travel anymore, how? No more joy. No more happiness. No more pleasure. All bound by circumstances. And then, of course, this is not new, lah, huh? Because in the old days, there was this famous man. Do you know who is he? King Solomon, right? King Solomon was the richest man in his time, the most powerful during his time, the smartest, the most famous, the greatest achiever, and all the pleasures of life are available to him. Do you know how many wives he has? Maybe wives is not really. Do you know how many concubines he has? 700 concubines. That's bigger than our church. You know how many wives he has? 300. 300 wives. That's bigger than our church. It's harder to pastor his wives and concubines than to pastor our church. But anyway, if there's a man who has all the pleasure in the world, it's this man, King Solomon. But yet, in describing his experience in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, what is his conclusion at the end? Life is vanity. It's futile. It's so meaningless. This man has everything. And he said, it's meaningless. You know why? Because the joy, the pleasure, the happiness he experienced is short-lived. It's temporary. Comes and goes. The joy, the happiness, the pleasure he experienced is dependent on circumstances. I'm going to show you about a joy that abides, that stays with you long, long. Singapore language. Stay with you long, long. A joy that doesn't depend on external circumstances. Resilient joy. A joy that easily bounces back no matter what happens to you and what problems or challenges you face. There is such a joy. And it is talked about in the Bible. And that's why I want to look at the Bible, which is the Holy Book of Christians, and read a particular passage that talks about the Christmas story. Look at the screen with me as I read this text. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." What a powerful story. Shepherds watching their flocks at night. Probably flocks that were going to be sacrificed because these shepherds in the surrounding vicinity of the little town of Bethlehem was very near to Jerusalem, where the temple required a lot of sacrifices. So they were there watching their flocks, and what a powerful thing happened to them. An angel announced to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy." Now think for a while. When we think of the Bible, those of you who are Christians, you read the Bible, you remember the Old Testament, shepherds. Do you remember who are shepherds in the Old Testament? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, famous men. Were shepherds in the Bible. The shepherds were looked upon quite wonderfully in the Old Testament. But when it came to Jesus' time, they didn't have a good reputation. So when you go to Bible school, you read books like Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. Wow, a thick book like that. And they talk about the different occupations. And they say shepherds is one of the most lowly, frowned upon, looked down upon occupations in those days by the time of Jesus. And that's because shepherds are, for one thing, smelly. When you stay with the sheep a long, long time, when you go out in the day, hot day, and then in the night you stay out, there are no shower facilities, you smell like the sheep. You stay with the sheep, you smell like the sheep. And more importantly, they are very known to be dishonest. You cannot trust their words. They'll go to the owner and say, you know, this sheep was taken in the night, and I only saw blood splattered on the floor. Actually, they sold the sheep to somebody else and kept the money in their pocket. It's very common. You know, shepherds, especially hirelings, are very dishonest in all that they say. They can't be trusted. So the Jewish woman in those days, you better study hard, otherwise you end up becoming a shepherd. Not a road sweeper, a shepherd. Nobody likes the shepherd. But of all peoples, God sent the angel to the undeserving, unworthy shepherd with the announcement of a Savior who will come. With good news that will bring great joy. Joy that lasts long, long. Joy that is resilient. In this story, I feel, you know, I can feel the grace of God. Not to the temple, to maybe the chief priest or the high priest did the angel go. Not to some royal family member who have more influence or power, so that they can make the way for this Savior and open the way for this Savior. No. To people that are looked down upon by the general population. To the rejects of society. People who live on the margin of society. People whose words cannot even be trusted. And he sent a message to them. And he said, this day is born in the city of David. What is the city of David? It's Bethlehem, right? Where David was born. In the city of David, a Savior. A Savior is born. This word Savior, if you read in the New Testament, it is mostly in Paul's writings and Luke's writings. This idea of Jesus being a deliverer, a Savior. And remember, another angel appeared to one of the parents of Jesus, I think is Joseph, and he said, you shall call his name Jesus. For what? He shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is going to save the world from their sins. Now, sins, everybody has sins, right? How many of you don't have sins? I don't see any hand. Yeah, you all know you have sins, because sin is simply choosing your own way instead of God's way. Sin is trespassing God's law. You enter into somebody's house without permission, you are trespassing already. You're trespassing God's law. You're breaking God's law. Sin. All of us have sin. And sin leads to punishment. leads to punishment from God. So the angel said to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, and Jesus will save you from your sins, save you from the punishment and judgment of God for the sins that you have committed. He's our Savior. Not only is Jesus our Savior, the angel proclaimed that He is Christ. What is Christ? Christ is a Greek word. If you translate it, it means the Anointed One. The Hebrew word is the Messiah. So in Hebrew, it's Messiah, the Anointed One. In Greek, it is Christ. You see, the Jews, they have all, by the time this announcement was made, they were all expecting a Messiah. Someone like King David who will restore the fortunes of Israel. They read the Old Testament prophets and they said, look, I think something is going to happen because God has promised that He will send someone who will deliver us. A Messiah. And this angel, I'm sure the shepherds also know because their religious education is from a very young age. Today, in the city of David, is born a Savior, Christ, the Messiah. Suddenly, the Messiah is like a magic word that unlocks a lot of emotions in the Jews, you know. The hope, the sense of anticipation, the sense of at last we got deliverance. An excitement in the hearts of the shepherds. And not only that, Christ the Lord, this word Lord has a history. Because the name of God, Yahweh, is not something the Jews take lightly and pronounce like the way we used to name Jesus. So it is always translated Adonai. And Adonai in Greek is Lord. In other words, in the city of David, today in the city of David, is born a Savior who is the Messiah, who is God, who is Yahweh. I'm sure that got the shepherds excited because the text tells us later on, I didn't read to you that text. They were so excited about the Messiah, about Yahweh, not appearing in a burning bush, but in the person of a child. A child is born and they went to Bethlehem and they searched and searched and the Greek word is discovered. That means they must have been going around asking in the middle of the night, you know, is there someone being born in a manger? Is there a manger here? And is there a couple that's giving birth? And they found what the angel said. A child born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths, and two teenagers, father and mother, Joseph and Mary, say to one another, teenagers, yeah, they are teenagers. A Savior to save us from our sins. The Messiah, God's chosen, the Anointed One. And most pertinent to us, for all people. That phrase, for all people. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Not just the Jews, for the Gentiles as well. For the people who are not favored by God, who are not privileged to know the law, who are not privileged to have that revelation that Moses gave. To all people. This Savior is given. So that means that you and I can have access to Jesus Christ, the Savior, and to the resilient joy that He brings, the joy that lasts long, long. We have access to the joy. Later, I will show you how you can receive this joy. It's a true joy, and it's free of charge. But before that, let me tell you another thing about this good news, huh? This good news of great joy. The second thing about this good news is this. It is not fake news. We hear a lot about fake news today, right? Why? Thanks to Donald Trump. And thanks to WhatsApp and social media. All of us receive a lot of fake news. And now we realize even the Russians are involved in delivering fake news. Political parties are involved in delivering fake news. Pharmaceutical companies are involved in giving fake news. And they are paying people to deliver fake news to people like you and me in our WhatsApp to forward everywhere free of charge without charging the advertisers. To create fear, to create affection, to create and move our feelings in a certain way. So now, every piece of news in the social media seems to be suspect, isn't it? Only when you see the Straits Times or the New York Times or the Washington Post, even those newspapers, Donald Trump said fake news. So now you don't know what is true news, real news. You dare not send some of the things you see. But the good thing about this good news that the angel announced is that it's not fake news. It's true news. Turn to someone beside you and say, the gospel is true news. It's true news. How do I know? Number one, Luke in chapter 1 began his introduction. And he said, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully, from the very first, from the very beginning, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. So this Gospel of Luke, from which I get this passage which I read to you earlier, is the result of well-researched investigation by Luke, the author, who was also a meticulous doctor. And he did it by interviewing eyewitnesses who saw the events that he wrote about, from the birth of Jesus to his ministry to his death to his resurrection. He interviewed people who were eyewitnesses. And you know, when you interview, you don't just take the story from one person. You have what you call triangulation. You need about two or three persons to say the same thing before you say, oh, this is a fact. Because one person, maybe he got his perspective wrong. One person, maybe he forgot. But three persons saying the same thing, it's true. He did his research. I know it's very easy to think that the gospel is fake news, the Christmas story is fake news, because we're all so rational, right? So scientific. How can there be a virgin birth? What if a virgin can give birth? I know today you have in vitro fertilization and all that, but to say that God actually put a seed in Mary and then gave birth, conceived a child, and then angels, what angels are you talking about? In a world of rationalism and scientific thinking, oh, all this is fake news, cannot be real. But I tell you, even scientists acknowledge that there is a place for mystery and there are things they still do not understand. And I propose to you that these are things they do not yet understand or comprehend. And these are mysteries. These are mysteries. And so I want to say again that this news are true news. that have gone through the tests of research and interviews with eyewitnesses. And if you read accounts in chapter 1 and chapter, there are historical figures mentioned. There is Caesar Augustus who ordered the census. It was mentioned in chapter 2. Herod the king, being mentioned. The governor, Quirinius of Syria. All these are historical figures and historical facts as well. Even later on, Pontius Pilate. And Luke, I think, is very careful to do his research. Why? He's giving this letter of Luke, his account of what happened with Jesus, to a high-ranking official. Oh, most excellent Theophilus. We have not found any such person in historical records. But the way he mentioned the title is like, oh, most excellent. When do you use most excellent in Singapore? For the president? For the president, most excellent, like some big official. So I better make sure my research is properly done and written out. So all this makes me conclude that this is not fake news, but true news. The second thing is this. The sign that the angel gave to the shepherds, they actually went to check. They went to Bethlehem and look. Because the sign that the angel gave them is today in the city of David, in Bethlehem is born a child. And they went there and they found exactly what the angel told the shepherds would happen and share it with the people who were there, the mother and the father of Jesus, and told them what the angel told them. Thirdly, the birth of Jesus was prophesied way before he was born. Do you know how many years before? If I predict the Dow Jones will collapse in 10 years, and it really collapsed, that's quite something, right? But it could be also very good mathematical calculation or estimate or projection. But if I estimate it 700 years ahead, Isaiah the prophet lived 700 years before Jesus was born, and he prophesied, and he wrote it down. He did not mention exactly the name of Jesus, but he wrote it down, a child will be born who will rule. It's prophesied 700 years ago. That leads me to conclude, this is true news and not fake news. So this is it. The joy is found in Jesus. The joy that we want, something that is long-lasting, something that's resilient, is found in Jesus. If we just put our belief in the good news about Jesus Christ, that he came to save, he came to die for our sins, not for his own sins, and he was risen from the dead after death, we will start a new relationship with God and begin to experience that joy. All you need to do to start that relationship is to pray a prayer with me, which I will later lead you in. It is a prayer that addresses God and says, God, I thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to save me from my sins. Secondly, I will lead you in prayer to ask Jesus to forgive you for your wrongdoing, your sins. You have gone astray. You have done things that are wrong. You ask Jesus to forgive you your sins. And he says, sorry for my sins. And finally, you say, please come into my life. Please come into my life. Please come into my life and change me. I need you. I need you. Forgive me and come into my life. I need you in my life to change me. Now, I suspect that besides non-Christians here, people who do not know Jesus yet, there are also people who are Christians here but who have somehow lost the joy of salvation. Salvation imparts a lot of joy. But I do not blame you, because King David himself, who was so close to God, prayed to God after he committed a sin and said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Even King David, so beloved by God, also went astray. And I don't blame us for sometimes lapsing and being distracted in some path away from God, that you feel discouraged, you feel you're too occupied with the cares of this life, you feel depressed for some reason, and you have lost that joy of salvation. Maybe you want a return of that joy. Today is a good day as any to actually say, Lord, like David, cry out to God and say, Lord, restore to me the joy of salvation that I once had, that burned brightly but now has been submerged by the cares of this life. Some of you are saying, I'm happy enough, leave me alone. You know, I want to say, the happiness you have is temporary, is short-lived. You will want a joy that lasts longer. You want a joy that's resilient. Just this week, a friend of ours, and for many of you who have been in church a long, long time, you know a person by the name of Daniel Chiu, right? Do you know Daniel Chiu? How many of you know Daniel Chiu? Not this kate, not Daniel Chiu who used to sit there. We are talking about Daniel Chiu of an earlier era. All right? He had liver cancer. And he, after a struggle of 3 years, he attends a Presbyterian church. After a struggle of 3 years, he died. He passed away. And I was there at the funeral, and the pastor was saying, you know, Daniel Chiu, at his deathbed, these are his last words. I want to be with God. I want to be with God. I see in that last wish, his last words, the joy that Christians have, that is so resilient, it can overcome death. Death is the biggest challenge in life. Amen. Losing your job, losing a loved one, decrease in pay, all kinds of other trials are nothing compared to death, because death is the end. And yet in death, this believer, Daniel Chiu, though he may be sorrowful to leave his loved ones behind, sorrow is overcome by a joy of the future prospect of being with God forever and ever, free from all pain, free from all suffering, in a new body, and spending eternity with God. In the last year, we saw quite a few deaths in our church. Precious members of our church, Joris, Louis. But if you recall their death, it is sorrowful. It is yet joyous. Amen. There is joy mingled with sorrow. But there is a sweetness in that sorrow, even with those who are left behind. We have been keeping touch with them. There is a joy that anticipates a reunion one day. Amen. And this is the joy that we are talking about. The joy of Christmas is a joy that's resilient. It can fight anything. Persecution cannot drown it. Death cannot destroy it. It's a joy that's constantly there. And this is the joy that Jesus gives. Amen. We believe the good news. That's why it's good news of great joy. Shall we pray? I'm going to start by making an appeal to those of you who do not know God or are not sure whether you are saved, whether you are a believer, whether